No. God wants us to see him for what he actually is. He points us to creation because his handiwork proves he exists. God is well aware that he is all-powerful and splendid. He also knows that humans can't fully comprehend his full glory, at least not while we're here on earth, separated from him by sin. But the Bible promises we will see his full glory one day when we're redeemed. God is fully holy, and because he's fully holy, he can only be in the presence of complete holiness. And that is why we needed Christ, right? And the cross and the resurrection. Christ's sacrificial blood atoned the sin debt for all that accepted Jesus. Jesus' blood is what's making us holy, that's washed us clean, so that one day we can be in the presence of a holy God when the full redemption work is completed through our own resurrection. Amen. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines holy as sacred, exalted, or worthy of complete devotion, perfect in goodness and righteousness. So clearly, holy means there's no tarnish from sin. Have you noticed that the Bible refers to God by many different names? I won't go through them all. When we consider the many names of God, we realize that they describe qualities that God has, which in turn gives us a stronger picture of God himself and the very God that we worship and praise. In Exodus 3, God spoke to Moses for the very first time from a burning bush. He wanted Moses to take a message to the Israelites. Being raised as an Egyptian, Moses would have been familiar with the many man-made gods of the day, but Moses did not recognize this God speaking out of a bush. So Moses did what we would have all done. Moses asked his name. And what did God say? In Exodus 3:14, God tells us, God said, "I am who I am." You must tell them, "The one who is called I am has sent me to you." This title tells us that God is beyond definition and comparison, and no name can limit him. With this statement, God declares that he is self-existent, eternal, self-sufficient, self-directed, and unchanging. This statement also declares that God is present all the time. He is the one and only, and there is no other true God except him. He is what he is, be all things. We possess nothing that could cause God to love us. Without God's redeeming love, there is just no good thing in us at all. Have you ever wondered why God keeps loving the people of the Old Testament? They disregarded him, they disrespected him, and they denied him. In Ezekiel 36, God charged the Israelites of profaning him constantly. And despite that, God was going to take them out of exile, not because of them, but to redeem his own holy name. Hear these verses, 22 to 23. "This is what the Lord God says. It is not for your sake that I will act, house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations. The nations will know that I am the Lord. This is the declaration of the Lord God when I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight." So God saved his people because God cares deeply about his glory. In verse 32, God repeats it. "It is not for your sake that I will act. This is the declaration of the Lord God. Let this be known to you." Isaiah 5:16 isn't up. It came to me this morning. And it says that the Lord is exalted by his justice and shows he is holy through his righteousness. Let's fast forward over to the Gospels in the New Testament. God's own select people then, the Israelites also, which are the Jews, brought false charges against Jesus to murder him and unjustly crucified him. Death imaginable on that cross, didn't he? And yet, while nailed painfully to that cross, Luke 23:24 tells us that about the love that Jesus had still for them, even though he was hanging on a cross. Jesus said, "Father, for they don't know what they're doing." Was there glory for Jesus in that? Well, actually, yes, there was. Because of his resurrection, Jesus was victorious over sin and its sting, which is death. Jesus became the first fruit of the resurrection, and so we will follow in his footsteps and be blessed with our salvation and our resurrection. It seems to me that the world is engaged in an age of self-focus, making people eager for their own glory, as if it's something they deserve. Do you see Satan's influence here? Does it not parallel with Satan's own desire to have all the glory? Self-centeredness is considered a negative characteristic, and it is for imperfect man, for a people that sin all the time. But it is not a negative characteristic for the God of the universe. It is a fact. God is perfect. He cannot be anything less. God is truth. God can't lie and therefore speaks only truth. God is just and will not tolerate evil indefinitely, but works all things to be fully justified. So God does not have an ego. An ego inflates itself, takes pride in itself, exaggerates, misleads, straight out lies. It's impossible for God to be any of those things. What God says about himself is just a matter of fact. And nothing more or less than the absolute and plain truth. God himself says he created us for him. He is our divine creator. So what does it mean to glorify God? Well, it means two things. First, it means we attribute all glory to God and certainly not ourselves. God is the only one who makes it possible for us to do anything. God has empowered me to stand up here preaching today without my knees knocking. Believe me, it has nothing to do with my own abilities and everything to do with God. God is not in need of more and more glory. God already has all the glory. We cannot add or increase God's glory in any way. It's really just that simple. To live successfully as a believer, we recognize and accept that God has all the glory. Secondly, we are to display God's glory to those around us in order that many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's out of Psalm 40, verse 3. By allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us and work through us, we display God's glory. How we think about God matters very much. Not because it threatens God's dignity, but because wrong thinking about God is destructive to us and to others. By his very nature, God glorifies in himself, and he acts for himself for his name's sake. God is infinitely holy, so when Scripture declares God to be holy, it means more than that he's separate from sin. That God is holy means that he is set apart from and above every creature and all creation. He is alone. He is unique. He can be compared to nothing. When Scripture declares God to be glorious in holiness, it announces that he alone is worthy. He alone is deserving of all love, all worship, all devotion, all submission, and all our service, all the time. We owe him our very selves. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That means take joy in God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism was written in 1647. And the very first question is, what is the chief end of man? The answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I think this is a good summation. We were created for God, and in turn, God's presence, his glory, fulfills and brings great joy to our thirsty soul. Psalm 8 is one of my most favorite passages, and I'll be closing with this. I'm going to read it. It's not on the screen. It's too long. Just listen to what King David said, because I really love this. O Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with a glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and beasts of the field, birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So what do you think? Is Almighty God worthy of your worship, your praise, your service? I'm happy to say that God did not leave me without answers to my nagging questions of years ago. I was really focused on the fact that I thought he wanted all the glory. He was always exalting himself. But he is the glory. The answer is simple. God cannot deny himself. He is the great I am, period. He created everything and is worthy of all glory without question. So to close, and I deliberately shortened my message today to show a little video. I will warn you right now that some of the pictures came out of the video, that movie, The Passion of Christ, okay? So it is a bit graphic, but I'm going to close with this song. It's a song, and this is the very reason that we praise God. Thank you.
is he
God, you are worthy of all blessing and honor and glory, Lord. Oh, Father, when we think about the things that you have done for us, to the magnitude that you have done it, and that you call us your friend, and we fail you so often, Lord. And Father, I just ask for forgiveness from all of us. And we thank you that you have your mercy and grace toward us. You are worthy, Lord, of all the glory. You are the great Redeemer. Because of you that we breathe every single moment. It's because of you that we're here. We are to reflect your glory. So we thank you, Lord. I pray protection over all those that are here today, Lord, when they leave. And Father, be with them every day and keep their faith strong. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, Amen. Amen.